Radical prayer. I've been reading a little book titled precisely that, The Radical Prayer. It's by Dr. Derek Morris. I've asked the elders to read this, and some of them did. And it's a good book. It's a good little book. It's fast reading. I think someone read it in a few hours. And so the book starts basically with a radical perspective. That's what they're calling it, a radical perspective. And the perspective is this: the harvest is truly great. Do any of you know how many babies are born every day in the world today? Do you know how many babies are born today? Neither do I, but there are a lot of them. And the thing is, here's the thing. The thing is that the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come when all the gospel has gone to all the world. Okay? So how are we going to deliver that message to all the world when we're trying to, you know, we baptize maybe 5-10 a year, and then in one day there might be, I don't know, I take a big wild guess, 2 million people being born. How are we going to catch up? So that's what the book brings out. It's the harvest is truly great, which in turn brings a radical problem. And here's the problem. There are too few laboring laborers. That is a problem. Because you would expect that the more people there are, the more laborers there will be getting the message out, but it's not happening. Which it brings me to the next question is, so what do we do next? Well, Jesus this morning is challenging you, he's challenging me, he's challenging us to pray a radical prayer, to pray a bold prayer. Have you ever prayed a bold prayer? And I don't mean the standard blessing that we sometimes teach our children. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Amen. Or the other one that we sometimes teach them, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about those prayers. I'm talking about bold, bold prayers. Mark 6:41 is one of them. We find Jesus praying for a small lunch that this little boy gave him. And he's praying, and although the gospel writers, they did not record that prayer, I have a suspicion that the prayer that Jesus made for that food was not, thank you for the world so sweet, thank you for the food we eat. Somehow I feel that Jesus Christ had a bold prayer. He offered a radical prayer for that meal. And Jesus challenges today. He's challenging us to offer a bold prayer. And what is that prayer? Well, Luke 10:2, it says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, you're reading that prayer and you're saying, well, that doesn't sound like a radical prayer. Or is it? When we start unraveling, you might change your mind. Because you see, the Greek has several verbs that are translated to pray. That's the thing about Greek. There's words like to talk. Well, there are words, there's a certain word that to talk with understanding. And there's another Greek word that's to talk, but just babbling, like baby babble. Now, moms could understand that. I don't know how, but they do. And the Greek words for prayer, there are a few of them. And Jesus, in this prayer, Is he asking for a request? Is Jesus just praying here to express a desire? What is Jesus doing? And I think it's more than that. The Greek word that is used here when for praying is this one here, deomai. Deomai means to beseech. It means to plead earnestly. It means to beg. I mean, this is just a little bit stronger than just pray. Let me share some passages with you where deomai is used. Twice it is used in this whole concept of praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. There's another one in Luke 5:12 where the leper wants to be cleansed. How do you think that leper was praying? Was he begging? Was he asking? Yes, he was. I mean, it was just a little bit more than praying. Then there's Luke 8:38, the man that was freed from the legion. When he was freed from that, he wanted to do one thing. And what was that? Do you remember? He wanted to go with Jesus. And when he asked Jesus, please, let me go with you, is that he prayed for Jesus to let him go with him. He was begging. He was beseeching. He was, earnestly praying for him. I want to go with you, Jesus. And the word deomai is used. Luke 9:38, the father has a son that's being tormented by evil spirits. And the father wants Jesus to heal. And so, how do you think the father is asking? Huh? How do you think the father is asking him? Is he just pleading softly or just praying a little bit? He's probably begging. I've seen parents asking the doctors to do all they can for their child. And the parents are not just expressing something very lightly. They're begging. They're pleading earnestly for that. Just to show you, so you could further understand the meaning of deomai, Luke 22:31 and 32 says this: Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed, deomai, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Jesus here is praying for Peter. Now, the disciple is facing eternal death, so to speak, because depending on the choices that he makes and the choices that we make, we are either going to be in heaven or not. So how do you think Jesus prayed for Peter? Well, the answer is there in the text. Because when Jesus was praying, he used the Greek word deomai. It is, Jesus was praying a radical prayer. Jesus was earnestly praying. Basically, what it says was Jesus was begging to the Father for Peter. He was begging to pray intensely. That is what this radical prayer means. Notice one thing, and I know that all you needed this Sabbath morning for worship was a lesson in grammar. But there's a point to all of this. Believe me, there will be. Therefore, it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. This verb here is in the imperative. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. So Jesus Christ, in this, he is commanding us to what? To pray. And so when a fireman comes up the ladder and he yells at the person, "Get out of the house, it is on fire." What does he mean by that? Does he mean, well, you know, "Mister, excuse me, I know your house is on fire, but I'm suggesting that you come with me." Is that what the fireman means? No. When he runs into a building and says, "Everybody out, there is a bomb in the building," what does he want? Everybody out. Is that a suggestion? When he goes in, see, that's he's speaking in the imperative. Get out of the building. When your teacher said, when the professor said at Andrews, at the end of the class, and then they would say it kind of in a deeper, lower voice, "I am expecting your homework." So what do you think the professor expected at the end of the class? Homework. And if you did not have your homework, there were consequences. Consequences. And I know sometimes we don't like the consequences. In the same manner, see, Jesus is asking his disciples, Jesus is asking us to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He is assuming that you and I will what? Will respond. That you and I will pray. Because sometimes we read things, "Oh, okay, pray. All right, yeah." No. He's assuming that you will start praying. Now, there's a little bit more that we could learn from the words of Jesus. I like learning from the words of Jesus. And here it is. The Greek, like I mentioned, can state things in the imperative, but the Greek has two different ways of stating that. The first one is the what they call the present imperative. What does that mean? It means that you keep doing what you are doing. Let me give you an example. And this example is because our kids, we just got a little dog for our kids. So dogs come to mind. If I'm walking along a park, okay, and then all of a sudden I see one of you that's running like a madman, and then behind you is this vicious dog with foam coming out of his mouth and is chasing you, well, the first thing I'm going to do is run the other way. But as I'm running the other way, I'm gonna be screaming to you, "Run, run, run," and I'm gonna be cheering you on. That is the present imperative. Because you are already doing something, right? Yeah, you're running from the dog. But I'm telling you what? Run, run, run. That is present imperative. And now Greek has, in other words, let me give you an example. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7 says this: "Ask, and it will be given to you." Now, ask, pray, that uses the present imperative. In other words, you are already asking for this. Continue to ask. That's what this means, the present imperative. But Greek, again, Greek is a very, it's loaded. It's a lot. That's why probably I didn't pass Greek the first time. There are too many things to learn. Greek has the aorist imperative. Now, the aorist imperative, it means start doing something that you are not yet doing. Example? Okay. I go to work, and my boss finds me with a shovel, leaning on that shovel. And he has told me to dig a hole. And I'm there just leaning on that shovel. My boss comes to me. He looks at me and he says, "Dig!" What is he trying to tell me? Start something that you are not yet doing. Start digging. That is the aorist imperative. Let me give you some examples of that. John 11:14. If you remember, John 11:14 is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. Jesus comes, he resurrects him. Lazarus comes out, and he's all tied up, right? And then Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Jesus uses the aorist imperative. In other words, what are you guys doing? You are not yet unwrapping him. Start unwrapping him, will you? Poor guy, he's all wrapped up. Get him unwrapped. Start doing something you are not yet doing. So, in his appeal for us to pray, Jesus uses the aorist imperative. Start praying. In other words, you are not praying earnestly. You are not begging. You are not pleading. Start to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Now, you might be asking yourself this morning, why do I need to pray? Why do I need to beg to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers? Why do you need to beg? Why? Why do I need to pray as I never prayed before? And then the question, doesn't the Lord already know that we need laborers? So why pray about it? Well, I think it has to do with something more for us than for him. I think the Lord is really trying to change our hearts when we pray, when we beg earnestly. I think the change, the ones that need changing of the hearts, is us, not God. You agree with that? We need to change. We need to pray. And when we are praying earnestly, we are giving Jesus Christ, we are giving God permission to do something radical in our life. Totally, totally radical. So what is so radical about the prayer that the Lord is asking us to make? Well, again, the answers are in the words of Jesus. I like that. I'd rather have answers from Jesus. I know your answers are great. But if I had a choice between getting your answers and Jesus' answer, I'm sorry, but I have to go with Jesus on that one. And so we are to plead to Jesus to send out laborers into the harvest. That's what he's asking us to pray. This is the prayer here. Now, that doesn't sound like a very radical prayer. Send out laborers to the harvest. Well, let's look at the phrase a little bit more closely. Because send out laborers, the common verb for send out is this one here, apostello. That's to send out, which we get the word apostolos from, which translated is the apostle. That's the English word. An apostle is really just someone that has been sent out. And, well, when the gospel record, records that Jesus sent out the disciples, he uses this word, apostello. But the verb uses in Luke 10:2, the one that he uses, is a little bit more forceful than that. Ekbalo is the word that Jesus uses. You see, the other word was a little bit more polite. But ekbalo means to cast, to throw. Let me give you some examples of the uses of balo, because that's what I mean. John 21:6. Got a little bit behind of myself here. John 21:6, when the disciples cast their nets out into the sea, that is bowel to cast out. And then there's this other one. When Jesus Christ, when his enemies were picking up stones to throw at him, that's what the word bowel was, to throw out. And then there's another text, John 3:24, when Herod throws John the Baptist into prison, the to throw is bowel. All right? This is that verb that is being used there. But there's this prefix that is used, the one that says ek. Have you ever seen that anywhere around here in the church? Ek. I know. Yes, Bob. I know you know. Ek. How about if I come over here and I kind of point here and ek. Out, exit, ek. That's where that verb comes from. Ek stands for out. Ek means to throw out. And many times when the gospel writers use the word cast out demons, this is what they used. They used the word ekbalo. Ekbalo. Ekbalo occurs, remember the story when Jesus was throwing out the money changers in the temple? That's the word it uses. Ekbalo. It's a little bit more forceful. It is not a weak verb, in other words. Jesus got those people, you know, he used the whip, and we know, I hope you know that he didn't really whack them. He was just scaring them, but he really did a good job. So what Jesus is really asking us, listen, in the prayer that he's asking us to pray is for us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to throw out laborers. That's what he's saying. Grab them by the back and throw them into the work. Hurl those laborers out there. Cast those laborers into the work. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why it's a bold prayer. It's really a radical prayer that Jesus is asking us to do. And here's the thing. You cannot pray this prayer without willing to be part of it. Remember that little song that we sing, Lord, send a revival? But let it begin with whom? With me. Yeah, I'll wait till you sinners get revived and then, because you need it. No, it's Lord, send a revival, but let it begin with me. And when we are praying this prayer, be sure that you are willing to be part of the prayer. Well, in simple words, this is what we are saying. And I'll get back to it here. Lord of the harvest, I earnestly beg you to throw out laborers into your harvest. And you have my permission to begin with me. Do you know that Jesus himself was willing to be thrown out? Matthew wrote that immediately after his baptism, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. After he came out of the wilderness, he began his active ministry. However, Mark, when he records that in Mark 1:12, he uses the verb ekbalo. The Holy Spirit hurled Jesus into ministry. Jesus was willing to be thrown out. Now, maybe some of you are thinking this morning, well, what will happen if I start praying this prayer? I'm giving the Lord permission to throw me out into the harvest. I mean, throw me out into the harvest. Well, let me tell you that, first of all, if you ask the Lord for permission to do that to you, let me tell you something, it is the Lord's responsibility. And if I've ever met a responsible person, it is Jesus Christ. So if he throws you out, let me just assure you that he is not casting you out and leaving you out there by yourself. It's like, okay, I threw you out. You're on your own, buddy. See you. Start working. No. He'll throw you out, but he'll give you the power to be able to do that which he's asking you to do. Because when Jesus Christ throws you out into a place, you will be exactly in the place that he wants you to be. Jonah, he was thrown out, right? He was bawled out of that whale. And where did he end up? In the place where Jesus, where God himself wanted him to be. Right there. He was cast out of that. Did I say whale? Big fish, I'm sorry. Out of the big fish that was really prepared for him. So he's really not casting you out. You know, and when you pray that prayer, he will cast you out, and it might be in a faraway land that Jesus wants you to go. He might send you to your neighbors. And I know that some of you would rather go to a faraway land rather than speak to your neighbors. I don't know why that happens. I had a mission trip with the youth, and when we were at home, you would ask him, "Let's go out knocking on doors here, and let's go do mission work." You know, we're afraid. No, what will they say? No, we're afraid. No, we don't want to do that. Okay, fine. We went on a mission trip to Mexico. They didn't even know the language, and when I asked them, "Let's go out mission work, door to door." Boy, they got all those books and they started knocking on doors like, well, what made the difference? What made the difference? But when you pray this prayer, make sure and be ready for a radical change in your life. Because some have been asked to go to a faraway land. Cass and Todd. Would you please stand? Oh, if you can't, is your baby asleep? Okay, Todd will stand. Todd, this is Cass's wife and Millie, the baby. You know, thank you. They, I don't know if they prayed this prayer, but I know they prayed a prayer. They're packing everything that they own. Are you putting your things in the container too? Okay, they have bought this 40-foot-long container. They're putting everything that they own. And they're going to the mission field. And we'll be praying for you. I know it's going to happen sometime next year. Okay. So, and by the way, they're needing stuff. So if your garages are full of things that they're just there for decoration, talk to them because they have a whole list of things that they're willing to take to their mission. Maybe that will clear your garage out so you could park your car in. But some people, see, they prayed to the Lord and they made that earnest prayer. They begged to the Lord and the Lord answered. Are you willing to respond to the appeal? Nathan was a foundry worker, young man. One day he was working and 440 volts of electricity went through his body. The doctors did not know why this man was alive. The doctors examined him and they could see the entry point of the 440 volts, but they couldn't find the exit He was alive because there was a miracle in his life. So a few months later, Nathan began to pray this radical prayer. Lord, send out laborers. And you have my permission to begin with me. And so as he started to pray, a series of events started taking place. First of all, the first thing that happened was that God asked him to part with his most cherished, most prized possession. You want to know what that was? I thought you would. It was a BMW motorcycle. The same motorcycle that the devil had sort of egged him on, so to speak, to get on that motorcycle and go through winding curves at more than 100 miles per hour. It was basically on a suicide mission. So the Lord started working with Nathan on this, and he finally got rid of that motorcycle. The second thing that happened is that the Lord impressed the families, two families, to help Nathan to go to college. Now, these families, they weren't, you know, families that had means. They just had the willingness to sacrifice, to be willing to help the Lord send somebody into the harvest, a laborer. 4 years later, Nathan offered that. 4 years after Nathan offered the prayer, he was graduating from college. He is now currently serving as a pastor and is really deeply, deeply committed to his work. Now, I am not saying don't be afraid that if you start praying this prayer, you're all going to be pastors. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're willing to start praying, the Lord of the harvest will do in your life what he wants you to do. So I'm going to challenge you this morning to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Pray to him, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. If you want me to enter full-time ministry, I will do it. If you want me to be a laborer at work or in my business or at school, at home, I will do it. I am willing. If you want me to give sacrificially so that someone else could go, I am willing. But Lord, show me. Show me what I need to do. I give you full permission to do that. Are you bold enough to pray this prayer? Father God, throw out laborers into the harvest, into your harvest, and you have my permission to begin with me. That is a bold prayer. That is a radical prayer. And will you respond to Jesus' appeal this morning to send out laborers? I'll leave that in your heart. And I'll leave this up here. So if the Spirit impresses you, start praying this prayer. But we willing, the Lord will change your life. I'm going to invite you to open your hymnals to number 573. And we'll close with this hymn.
please stand, please?
This afternoon, I'm praying for all of us that you may help us to pray this bold prayer, that you may help us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, but be willing to give permission to you to begin with us. Send us where you need us to go. Give us the words that we need to say. we want to go home soon. So be with us. And Father, we continue to pray for the meetings this evening. May your name be glorified, and may the outcome of the meetings be only to honor and to glorify your name, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.